Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Training Camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's D-Mac.
All right, practice has wrapped up. Von Miller will be speaking at the podium, so we'll be looking for that here shortly. Vance Joseph announced earlier that tomorrow, Broncos fans, you may want to show up. Ones versus ones, two versus twos. The Broncos will do their inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow. How about that? With Monday off, they'll go after it tomorrow, and you'll see the most competitive practice of the camp so far. Tomorrow. Today was pretty good. They went heavy in team drill, which is always exciting. They had a good crowd here as they're raising money for Alzheimer's. People wearing purple. We had a couple of the Bolin children, Annabelle, Christiana, and Patrick, out talking to the fans, collecting money. And, you know, it's obviously a cause that's deep and meaningful to the Broncos. I'm seeing Vaughn. He's one of the last guys off the field. And he's walking over slowly. He'll be over at the podium here relatively shortly. One of the highlights of the day, we actually captured it live here on The Fan as we were doing a little bit of play-by-play, and that was a deep pass from Case Keenum down the right sideline to Courtland Sutton again. And Courtland Sutton first of all, it was a flag on Roby, just similar to the other day when Langley more or less mugged him, and he was able to shrug off the interference and catch the ball. This same type of situation, but it was more dramatic as it was from the goal line. And he was throwing it down the right sideline. And Sutton makes a great catch and kind of dekes a defender and runs for what, I mean, would have been like a 90-yard touchdown pass. So, hey, Kyle, as I'm looking right here, Vaughn's up to the podium, so just let me know when you got that there, if we can go there. Can we go there right now? Not yet. Well, he's making his way up there. So that was one of the highlights from – are we good? All right, let's go. Von Miller.
The NFL is making an emphasis for pass rushers. When you get to the quarterback, you can't put more than half your weight on him. You got to kind of spin him down before you get to the side. How's that changing your preparation for the attack, if at all? What do you think of that?
I mean, for me, I don't think none of the rule changes, they really don't affect my game. You know, I don't really tackle quarterbacks without my weight anyway. Without 185 pounds, no, I wouldn't do a quarterback like that. I like going for the ball. You know, if you've seen me play over the years, I'm not really, you know, lower the head or, you know, really try to, you know, hurt a quarterback. The most I do to a quarterback is fake handshake. So, you know, I've been good when it comes to, like, you know, all of those rules. I respect the game. You know, I know that we need to keep our quarterbacks healthy. Those guys make football what it is. So we got to take care of those guys. They've put in rules to take care of all the players as well. So I'm good with all the rule changes.
Hey, you have a pass rush camp that's starting to get pretty big news. Talk about what do you learn from that camp that you hold every year with some of the great pass rushers in the NFL?
It's just a great opportunity to, you know, get some of the greats, get some of the younger guys coming in, and get some of the guys that's doing it right now all in the same spot to discuss pass rush. It's really the only place that you can do that with league guys, with guys that's in the NFL. So to have, you know, Bruce Smith and, you know, Warren Sapp and DeMarcus, you know, all those guys contribute to the Von Miller Pass Rush Summit. It's been a dream come true.
Well, on the defensive intensity and the swagger seem to pick up since yesterday's pick six from Will Parks. How do you guys want to take that and kind of carry that over going forward throughout the rest of training camp?
He said, what was it again? I mean, I was a bad student in high school.
Pick six from Will Parks yesterday. How do you want that for your defense to kind of continue to impress on the, you know, the intensity and the swagger for your defense?
Yeah, I mean, you just want to continue to make plays. When you come out to practice, you want to make plays, whether it's a pick or a sack or a forced fumble. You know, our coaches, they really put an emphasis on that, you know, not just, you know, sacks or picks, but, you know, chasing the ball down, pursuit to the ball, and, you know, making plays on the ball as the play progresses down the field. So it's been good.
We saw Josie Jewell return to practice in the team for you today, young rookie guy. What have your impressions been?
Redbeard. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite rookies, man. I just love the way he plays. You know, he's he may be a rookie, but when you talk to him, it really doesn't feel like he's a rookie. When you see him play, it doesn't look like he's a rookie. He's gonna play in this league a long time. I just like his intensity. I like having conversations with him. You know, he's gonna be great for us.
Do you feel like you have to hold back in camp?
Me?
Like you can't go full force. Vance, hold back? If you went full force, you're pretty much right in practice.
I don't know. You know, I just come out to play. You know, I just come out to play. You know, thanks, Coach VJ, for those kind words. But you know, I just come to practice to play, man, to get better. You know, this is my eighth year, so this is my eighth time around. You know, seeing some of this stuff. This is my eighth time in training camp where you have a break or you have a day off, and then you come back the next day and the coach is on you like, "No, come on, we're slow before we even practice." So this is like, you know, this is my eighth time around, and I've seen it a couple of times. And you know, with saying that, I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for all the opportunities that I've gotten. I'm grateful, you know, for this eighth year in the league. And you know, I just try to keep pushing. I just try to keep it going.
But that said, in 8 years, we do see you more vocal in the way you coach teammates on the field. It looked, at least that's my perception.
Come on, Troy. I've been doing the same thing.
You know, since it's
Orlando, tell him I've been doing the same thing since my rookie season. I've been doing the same thing since my rookie season. I've been doing rookie season. You know, you really can't get caught up with what people see or what people think or the perception about it. You know, you got to stay with the reality. And the reality is I've been doing a lot of stuff for my teammates for a long time. You know, we have leaders all across the team. We don't really need anybody to say, "Oh, this guy's a leader now, this guy's a leader now." We got leaders all across the board, and I'm just doing what I've been taught since day one.
Having your locker across from Cases, has that allowed you to get to know him a little bit better than maybe you would have?
Oh, yeah. I knew Case before he came to the Broncos. You know, I'm a fan of the game. You know, I know all the guys, not even the stars. I know all the guys in the National Football League. If you play in the NFL, chances are I probably know you. I had a relationship with Case before. We had some autograph signings and stuff. We talked hunting and fishing back in, I want to say, like 2012. So, you know, I've been familiar with Case. And, you know, to have him in the locker room is dope. You know, I'm a locker room guy, so Case is great there. You could put anybody there, and I'm still going to get along with him. So it's great to have him close by me, though.
You're a week into camp. You got a great game a week away. Does it feel like that game's any closer, or are you kind of in that Groundhog Day grind of camp?
No, I honestly, I forget what day it is sometimes. What's today, Tuesday? No, I'm just joking. I know today's Saturday. But, you know, you just get so caught up in the process. You get so caught up in being in meetings at this time, working out. You know, off time, this time, being in the meetings, and you get it becomes repetitive, and you just get caught in that cycle. So, I really don't. I'm really not even looking. I don't even know when the game is. I just come to practice every day. You know, whatever Coach VJ has on an agenda for practice today, I try to get that done, and just try to take it one day at a time.
Day in, day out repetition. How do you keep yourself, energized, but feels fresh and doesn't feel like the same?
I think that's the fastest way to get it done. You know, one day at a time. And really, that's the only way you could do it, you know. So you might as well maximize each day that you get.
Is it harder for you to stay clocked in, tuned in, because you might not play in those first couple of preseason?
No. It's fun. This is fun to me. You know, I get to come up here and, you know, rub shoulders with these yahoos in the locker room. You know, I get to tell jokes and do pranks and, you know, go to film and really practice. I really get to go out here and practice a craft. I do this better than anything else in the world. So, you know, I love doing it. You know, you really can't. I don't really get bored with this. You know, maybe if it was something I didn't do so well, I probably, you know, would get bored with it. But this is my job. This is, you know, my passion. So I don't really get bored with it.
You mentioned this is your eighth year. And when DeMarcus Ware was here, you know, he kind of took you under his wing. Now you're the elderly guy here now with the young guy, Chubb and Joyce Jewell. Do you feel that now it's your responsibility to keep these guys in your wing a little bit?
I mean, I think, you know, think about it. I mean, this is our team.
Yes.
You know, I don't feel like it shouldn't feel like a responsibility or like a chore, you know, to take guys under your wing. It should just happen naturally. And it's just something that I've been good with. I like kicking it with the rookies. I like being around the rookies. You know, they bring a, uh, a fresh, you know, perspective of the game and, you know, where we are in the game. And I wouldn't say it's a responsibility. It's just, you know, what I naturally do, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Wait, we've talked to a couple more guys.
Your thoughts on Cortland Sutton? He seems to be the real deal.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Huh?
Cortland?
Who's that? Number 14? Oh. Hey, they got cold, man. Hey, Cortland Cole. I mean, we really did a great job with the draft this year. We do a great job, you know, every year. But, I mean, we did a great job getting 14, 55, you know, all of those guys. The rookies that we had this year are phenomenal. Cortland, he just brings a whole new dynamic. We got DT and Emmanuel off top. They give, you know, defenses hell already. And then you got Cortland right here. So it's going to be fun. Then we got a great quarterback. The offensive line has gotten a whole lot better, too. So, you know, Cortland is great. I see Ray Baum in the team meeting room. He just has that fire in him. You know, he's going to be great.
Vaughn, years down the road, when you call it a career, will you attend Raiders training camp?
Yeah, I probably would. I saw Peyton did that, man. You know, at first I was just like, man, Peyton, why you? But then you really got to think about it. You know, Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning, they've done a lot of stuff together. You know, they were, what was it, 1982, what, Heisman ceremony, and those guys were there. So, I mean, when you go back that far, and then we played the Raiders twice a year, you know, you just build relationships over the years. And, you know, if you've been in a game as long as, you know, Peyton and Charles Woodson, man, it's a lot, man. You just build relationships and friendships. It doesn't even matter about teams or colors at that point. So I probably would. Yeah, I probably would go to, you know, somebody else's training camp.
You mentioned last one, Nikki. What's the best prank you pulled?
You know, I haven't really been on pranks this year.
Why?
You know, I like watching them. I like, you know, I like. Which ones have I watched? Hold on. What have I watched? I don't know, campers just get jumbled together, man. You know, really, I just like other rookies pranking other rookies. It's fun. It's like, bro, y'all on the same team, and y'all do diabolical stuff to each other. So it's just, I've never gotten that, because every class that we were in Orlando, we always stuck together. You know, we didn't really play pranks on each other, but these rookies these days, man, they don't care. They don't care about nothing.
That's pretty cool. And our own Orlando Franklin over there with Vaughn, they go way, way back. And so it's fun to hear Vaughn sort of talking to Orlando during the presser. And that's the tone with Vaughn Miller, basically, well, always. You know, it's loose, it's relaxed, it's having fun. It's Vaughn Miller. He's the best, you know, and he's looked fantastic out here. Vance Joseph said that if Vaughn actually goes full speed, then he'll just ruin practices. So I don't think we have much to worry about there with Vaughn Miller. And the interesting thing is, what kind of complimentary piece will Bradley Chubb be for that? However, all that being said, Shane Ray has been fantastic. He has been absolutely outstanding. And as it stands, like, right now, it's really Shane Ray and Vaughn Miller and Bradley Chubb's more with the twos or in different packages. We'll see how that changes and how that evolves. But right now, that's the where it stands. And, hey, man, good for Shane Ray. Good for Shane Ray for stepping up to that challenge right now and, you know, making it interesting. It's a test for him because the Broncos did not give him that fifth-year option. The likelihood of Shane Ray being here next year is not great. You know, the vast majority of first-rounders who are not offered the fifth-round option that stay back with their team is few and far between. So we'll see. But, hey, make it interesting. Make the Broncos have to make a really, really tough decision. Where are we on with the break here, Kyle? We up on it? Okay, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll sort of rally the troops here, see what everybody's got to say. We're with you live until 1 o'clock out here at Dove Valley. It's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Live from training camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's DMAC.
All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.
It's DMAC here at the Valley. Beautiful day. Brandon Marshall. Is Brandon Marshall still talking, Kyle? Or is, let's go to it. Let's see what Brandon Marshall's got to say. Let's go right there.
Smart kid. Very smart. Picks up the playbook fast. And I think he's going to be able to contribute, for us. Honestly, he just got to get his legs back. He had that hamstring. So, once he gets his leg back and, he kind of gets more experience, I think he'll be fine.
All right, there you go. Just a little bit from Brandon Marshall. So Cecil Lammy is coming over as the vast majority of players have left. Marquette King in a long discussion with somebody. I don't know who that is.
That's Woody.
Oh, it's Woody.
Yeah, okay, Woody's getting like an expose with Marquette King.
All right, Woody's breaking it down.
I bet it's for the Colorado Tourism Board because, Marquette King loves Colorado so much.
There you go. All right, in-depth interview with Woody and Marquette King. What's the word out there today, Cecil? What, bring us in the loop with what VJ had to say and Vaughn and Brandon Marshall.
It's all fun out here, but people getting ready for a little bit more physical as camp goes on. You're trying to ramp up, and this is where things change because it was a week ago today that camp started, and camp is changing. You're seeing first teams emerge. You're seeing those reps emerge for players, and really I think it's just that mindset, whether it was Vaughn talking about it or Vance Joseph about, okay, now as practice is going on, you kind of have a rhythm now, and I think that's a good thing. I didn't get an update on Troy Fumagalli. He was out there.
What's going on?
Did not take a team rep. So I don't think he was asked. I don't think VJ was asked about Troy Fumagalli, and he didn't mention him at the beginning of the press conference. I want to double check there. But just something to kind of note there, as you had tied in Palooza over here.
I guess so, yeah. It's fun seeing Vaughn and pulling Orlando into some stuff, and it's great having Orlando as part of the fan, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a reminder of how long Vaughn's been around, right?
Right.
And were they the same class?
Same draft class, 2011, yeah. And the two second-rounders were Raheem Moore at number 45, Orlando Franklin at number 46.
Sandy, come over and join us. See you over there. Pull up a chair for the great Sandy Clough. And I haven't heard from Sandy's thoughts so far this training camp, so I'll just start from the very beginning. Sandy, what are your impressions of training camp 2018?
I know we got the Chub 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 t-shirts.
Yes,
we maybe it'll all be Cortland.
Something else, huh?
Yeah.
Another day today.
I mean, he makes at least one spectacular play.
Yeah. Yep.
Every day.
So
I think maybe one day he didn't, but basically he's been the story. Everybody's talking about him.
Yeah. What do you think of this camp compared to last year? What stands out to you?
I just think the rookie class stands out more than it did last year. Last year they were ordaining guys like Isaiah McKenzie as the punt returner at about this time a year ago. And I think this year guys come out taking nothing for granted. Vaughn Miller was just saying, I don't know if you guys got it.
We were listening.
The podium, that the rookies are playing pranks on
other rookies.
Okay. This year. I just think that there's more excitement generally about Sutton. Chubb, it's hard to tell out here.
It is
because
hard.
They aren't hitting. It's hard to judge what he's doing. But I think there's freshness. There's excitement. And a new quarterback helps. And we've all forgotten, I think, what it's like to look at a quarterback out there who seems to know what he's doing. We've lost that impression.
Do you know what's interesting? Almost every day, unless he's talking at the podium, Case Keenum runs in without his pads on, and nobody talks to him. None of the media. It's like they don't even recognize, there's your starter.
Yes.
Now, I say hi to him as much as I can, but like he will run past everyone and not like sprinting. He'll like jog and, hey, there's your starter. There is your savior.
Exactly.
And everyone's just like, hey, who's that guy without pads?
You think the media's not recognizing him? Or do you think there's a more deferential tone? Or
what? No, they just don't recognize him. Like, he's just...
You think they really physically don't recognize who Case Keenum is?
Yeah. I think that's the case almost every day I've witnessed it. Unless
really?
He's talking at the podium, if he'll run off without his pads on, nice as all get out, says hi, but
yeah.
People just don't, like, stop him or talk to him.
Well, he's not a spellbinding speaker. He's not really a character. But Miller... You know, mentioned he's got locker room space right next to Keenum, and they've had a relationship going back, I don't know, what he said, 6 years?
Right.
And you know, there's a tone of authority, I guess, that it isn't something that gets people excited necessarily, but competence is good. Knowing what you're doing is a good thing. And no, he's not spectacular, but he threw that pass. You were just coming on the air and you were describing
it. That was awesome.
He threw that pass. His arm is better than I thought it was.
Gotcha.
Really is.
Gotcha.
And that's it. So, and I don't know if they can run the ball, but they can pass it this year in ways they haven't been able to throw it for 3 years.
In the NFL, do you really need to make a pass longer than what we saw completed to Cortland Sutton? I mean,
no.
That's it. You know, it's kind of weird, like field goal kickers. Do you need to make a 70-yard field goal? No. What you need to make is field goals between 45 and 55 yards. You know, so as long as you can be consistent with that, Do you need to throw the ball 80 yards, you know, down the field? I like Josh Allen, but do you need that kind of arm strength? Not necessarily.
Well, Paxton Lynch can throw it that far.
Paxton Lynch's arm is fine in terms of just his arm strength. Paxton Lynch could throw the ball as far as anybody. In fact, we saw a pass to Cortland Sutton that he overthrew about 50 yards or so. So it's
he's like Uncle Rico. He can throw it over the mountain.
He can throw it over the mountain.
That doesn't matter. What matters is the leadership, the accuracy, the pass placement that you see from Case Keenum. And it's something to highlight that this team, we've gone a week now, fellas, and I think this team's going to pass more than we expected. They said run the ball and play great defense. I think they should amend that and say we're going to run the ball at the right time. Cortland Sutton is making them a three wide receiver team.
Yes.
And Case Keenum is making them a passing team more than the 50-50 split you had from Minnesota last
year. Your base offense. Last year they were in three wides way too much because they didn't have three good wide receivers. Really didn't. This year it's going to be Sutton and Thomas on the outside, Sanders in the slot. Sanders is happy because he has this rapport with Keenum, and he's been
getting targeted a lot in camp.
He's getting the ball.
Makes him happy.
I would say Vance Joseph, again, words are just words, and we have to see how it translates on the field. Vance Joseph has been more critical of this team individually and collectively in 1 week than he was all of last year. Training camp, regular season, put together. Even today, he gets up there and he says, we haven't come out well the last 2 days. Yesterday, it was the defense. Today, it was the offense. If we come out like that, we'll be down 10-0, 14-0 every game.
Okay. A little more stern. A little more vocal
he
out
He seems
here.
To be. And the, and the players say, and I think you've heard this, and guys have told you this, D-Mac, that, you had meeting rooms. Will Parks was talking, I think, with Stokely and Zach the other day. Will Parks was saying, you were in meetings last year, and Vance was speaking, look around the room, and eyes were wandering, and they were looking at all. They weren't paying any kind of attention. And he says, this year, we're at rapt attention when he speaks. And it seems like he's been more critical. And guys like Will Parks, I think that there are a lot of guys on this team who need to be coached that way.
Okay.
Vaughn Miller doesn't need to be coached that way, but Will Parks needs to be coached that way.
You know, one thing about Sanders, let's just talk about Sanders in the slot, where he's played 90% of the time in training camp here. I mean, how much?
What was it, 27% last year in the slot?
Was that right?
That was the figure I seen.
Wow. Yeah, it's about three times that now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to remember when he's actually on the outside, to be quite honest with you. But what I see, he should love it, I think. I mean, I know it's a more dangerous position playing in the slot for sure. But he has only had – we only had two touchdowns last year.
Right.
He had five –
And none after week two, after the Dallas game.
He had two touchdowns in week two, and that was it for the entire year.
That was it.
Right?
Yep.
And as tough as Emmanuel Sanders is and as everything we hear about him, as an outside guy, he's a relatively short receiver for an outside guy. It's just hard for him to get the ball, and it's hard to get him the ball, never mind the terrible quarterback situation. He is going to have so many more receptions this year and so much more ability, Cecil, to do something after he catches the ball. just by playing the slots.
We could have two 90-catch receivers on this team, and that's with Courtland Sutton getting 50. That's not out of the question. And when you look at Case Keenum, he didn't use his third wide receiver at all because his next targets behind Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen were Jerick McKinnon and Kyle Rudolph. Well, you don't have that here. Well, what you do have is Sutton as that third guy. So Thomas and Sanders, you should be penciling, what, 80 for Sanders, 90 for Thomas, maybe more for both. And Sanders seems invigorated, and you should. You should feel invigorated because you can get open. And Case Keenum's favorite target is the open guy, and not just the check down like we saw with Trevor.
All right.
In the middle of the field. All of a sudden, we're seeing passes in the middle of the field.
You know, it's funny, like Carlos Henderson, I mean, forget him, right? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
At what point is he just released? Jeff Heuermann missing another day, and you're seeing a guy like Matt LaCosse. Your impressions of Matt LaCosse.
I talked to Matt LaCosse a little bit the other day, and I knew you just had him over here. And he's a guy with a perspective on things. He hasn't played a lot.
But he's not a rookie.
But he's been around a lot. Yeah, he's not a rookie.
Right, that's right.
He's not a newbie. And he was telling me, he probably told you the same thing. He says, I love running the vertical stuff. Up the seam. You're looking at a guy 6'3", 255, and he's talking about his speed, and he likes to go deep. And to me, out here, trailer dropped a couple today, but would be your first time. Fumagalli, I think at some point will become a factor. But I think right now, Butt and LaCosse are the two tight ends that look the best.
To me, Fumagalli, like, there's two guys that I'm okay for a year for them just to develop.
Right.
And that's Josie Jewell and Fumagalli.
Yep.
I really don't care what they add out here. They just need to develop, and we're A-okay. They're drafted in the right spot, all that. We know Brandon Marshall most likely will not be on this team next year unless something happens. So Josie Jewell and maybe in the draft we're looking at that top linebacker next year in the first round. We'll see how everything shakes out. Right. But when I see LaCosse, I see a guy who can contribute right now in the red zone.
Absolutely.
On third
He's ready
down,
to go.
That sort of thing. I see Traylor as your, you know, he could catch the ball too, but you need some sort of physical tight end presence.
Well, what you have is you have two Ys and two Fs. Fumagalli is definitely an F. LaCosse is an F. And then you have two Ys and Austin Traylor and Jake Butt. Those are the all-purpose blocking inline tight ends who can also receive.
I love the room. I love what they present, and none of it includes Jeff Heuermann. I see Isaiah McKenzie taking reps with the third team and having a hard time just catching the ball.
Right.
So that looks not promising for that vet. But then I look at Tim Patrick. I'm like, well, there's your fifth wide receiver.
That's your fifth wide receiver.
There's your guy right there.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And so the Broncos look bigger, faster, stronger, blah, 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 blah. All right, if you guys want to hang around, that'd be great. I'm not going anywhere. We got another segment. We take a quick break. We're live out here at Dove Valley on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Training Camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's DMAC.
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, you know, we knew that the crowd had all the flags, so we want to just get everybody riled up for this special practice. You know, everybody's wearing purple, so, you know, we kind of want to get everybody excited, but, you know, nobody really gets excited for anything around here except Von Miller when he comes out the locker room. You know, it was hard. Nobody really cared who was waving flags, but when Von came out, that was the big deal.
That's Brandon Marshall grouping on his friend Von Miller. Purple was the theme out here to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's, as both Annabelle Bolin and Pat Bolin sadly are battling this horrible disease. And so today was a day to respect and honor that. And there's plenty of purple out here. They were handing out purple towels, and there's one right there as Cecil's holding. And so that's good. There's been some nice little themes to things. Tomorrow.
Scrimmage.
Tomorrow they're having a scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, did we know that before today?
No. That was kind of revealed today that it's scrimmage time. And again, getting ready for that physical presence out here at UC Health Training Center.
So the orange and white scrimmage, or whatever colors they happen to wear, that's just what the colors they're happening to wear out
15
here.
15 plays for the ones, twos, and threes. 15 apiece.
Okay. I would encourage folks to get out here. My feeling when I've seen these scrimmages in the past, I always feel like I want to see a little bit more.
Yes.
You know, it always feels like, oh, that's it.
I used to like when we had the scrimmage in the stadium.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They did that for a while, and that stopped last year, I believe.
Yeah. I talked to them behind the scenes. Just logistics was difficult for them to just with the equipment and moving everything down there. It was a great event, though, for the fans.
It was. So it was on the Hall of Fame night. And remember, was it the year that Floyd got in?
Yes.
That they put on the big screen, the jumbo screen, they put the ceremony up on there?
That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked it, too, because, well, for those, we were allowed to actually walk on the sideline. We were able to walk literally along with the play. So it was a great indication. One year they had it. It got rained out. Do you remember that?
Yep.
It was Peyton Manning just running out with the team sliding on like their bellies and stuff to try to entertain the fans,
and
unfortunately.
Fans stayed, and they got soaked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've had great turnout by the fans, and it's free out here, as it would be free in the stadium, and it's never been sold out. You know, as many – they I think they had over 5,000 the other day. They could probably put 7 or 8 up there somehow. You know, so I don't think if you want to come see the Broncos, what I think is terrific about what they do training camp, if you want to see the team, parking's free, the attendance is free. It's a little rough, you know, there's not a lot of shade up there on the hill.
No.
However, there are places that you can go up on the plaza. If you really get too hot, you can sort of, you know, give yourself a
break. Well, they have
cooling
stations, too. They have the misters up there and stuff.
They've done a great job for the fans with this facility. Parking's easy. And you don't, if you want to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning, I suppose you can be, but you don't have any inherent advantage to doing that and just kind of rolling up whenever
you
want.
Well, let's be honest, taking a family to a game is expensive.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you're talking about parking, concessions, and just the tickets themselves. You're spending a few hundred dollars, if not close to $1,000, if you've got a family of four. So come out here, it's free. You can get closer to the players than you can at the game. And maybe get an autograph at the end. It's
so fun. The ones with the ones, the twos with the twos, and that means we'll see Chad Kelly with the threes.
Yes.
He's never going to get a chance with the twos, is he? Despite what
I don't
said
believe
yesterday.
It. I know what Joseph said, but I don't see it.
I
don't see it. I think
don't see it
Paxton's going to play almost the entire first game, maybe the second game, and if he's good, then maybe they don't need to bring in a veteran. If he's bad, as I suspect he might be, they'll have to bring in a veteran.
Well, I don't think they're slaughtering Chad Kelly, which I was fearful of, that they would just be like Kyle Slaughter.
Yeah,
he's
being slaughtered.
What?
He's being
slaughtered. No, they're actually paying attention to him, but as I've been saying, it's their developmental guy. He's clearly their third-string developmental guy.
Yep.
And then Paxton is not competing against Chad Kelly. Paxton is competing against Teddy Bridgewater. Paxton is competing against Drew Stanton, Derek Anderson, Matt Moore, whoever. Name the name. Yeah. He's not competing against guys that are here. He's competing against guys that John Elway can pick up the phone and say, get that guy to me.
Listen, and I have a very good friend who eats at Elway's restaurant fairly regularly and knows one of the waiters who's been there from the beginning. The waiter's close to John. John's in there a lot. And let me just put it this way. What we all notice about Paxton Lynch, John Elway knows.
Okay. All right.
John Elway knows what's
so it's not
with
a,
Paxton Lynch.
Not
more importantly,
emperor,
what's not happening.
And it's not an emperor has no clothes sort of situation.
No, it's not.
Okay. So now what then, if that's the case?
You have to turn to a veteran as a backup. Because Chad Kelly's not going to be the backup. Chad Kelly can outplay Paxton Lynch in every practice session out here. Chad Kelly's not going to be the backup quarterback.
Okay, so what does that look like then?
He can't be. He's got no time with the twos.
Zero time. The interesting thing is last year what brought Brock Osweiler here was actually an injury to Paxton Lynch.
Right, correct.
And then that was like the lengthiest rehab we'd ever seen. You know, we were like, what's it going to take for Paxton Lynch to actually be healthy? And, of course, the cynic in all of us speculates that they were just extending that as long as they possibly could because they didn't want to be put in that situation. Is that what it's going to take this time around? And at what point – well, you know, when was Brock? Well,
after the third preseason game.
It was the third preseason game.
He got hurt in the third preseason game. The second one was against San Francisco. He started. He averaged like 2 yards a pass and looked horrible.
Well, the day they signed, we were across the street doing our –
Little thing.
Get together.
Set of programs that we aren't doing anymore. So I don't want to talk about it.
Well,
that's when they signed Brock. That was
okay. So we got time then for a vet quarterback, right? Or are we losing time here? Do we not? Is this a moot point because Case Keenum
better not get hurt?
That's
Case Keenum
that's
better
the bottom
not get
line.
Hurt. That's the bottom line.
Does Case Keenum even need to play in preseason?
No.
Nope.
No. He'll play a little in the third game, but Cecil, more than a half?
No, treat him like Joe Flacco in that Hall of Fame game. Don't play him in the first game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't even play him against the Vikings.
No. Don't need
well,
to.
Well, what's the point?
Put Paxton out there and let him play three quarters.
In all honesty, the when we watch training camp, we see what they do, and we see the scrimmages. You really do wonder, is anything more than maybe one game necessary at all?
Joint practices. You need one preseason game.
All you need.
Two joint practices and some scrimmages. Eliminate preseason. Extend the regular season. Get what you want. And then limit every player to 16 games.
Because it's a farce now that what's happening in the preseason. And by the way, talk about unwatchable. I mean, did you guys suffer through watching the...
I waited for Lamar Jackson. I was like, come on. I need to get through this.
I watched Lamar Jackson. And actually, by preseason standards, Michaels was saying late in the game, usually we get about 30 penalties in these things. And tonight we only had 11.
Right, and the penalties, what the big topic was the head penalties,
right? Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that going to change the nature of football, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it's always a good thing to have this game safer. You know, be as safe as you possibly can. They're not putting skirts on them or whatever all these guys say. Like, it is a different game. It's still football, and it's still going to be violent. It's always going to be violent, and the dirty secret that nobody wants to admit is we like the violence. So I think it's a good thing, and here's the other thing, Sandy. Attack the middle of the field. Because safeties can't be safeties anymore. So while they're kind of confused about what I can do, what I can't do, attack the middle of the field. If you're third down, if you're red zone, go for the middle of the field because you're going to get a personal foul penalty.
I wish they were able to explain this rule better. I think there'll be a lot of flags in the preseason once the regular season
starts.
It'll calm down a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, Troy Rank sent me a text. Chris Beek is the guy with the outside linebackers every day. Everybody? Who's Chris Beek? Sounds like a character from Trading Places.
But John Beek's son.
Who knows?
The former Bronco executive.
Is that who he is?
That's who he is.
Okay. Sandy, is he the right guy to be working with three number one draft picks?
I'm not sure, but this business with Von Miller all of a sudden working with Bill Kolar, that's been going on for years.
Okay.
They're interacting all the time. So I don't think that's as much of a change as people are making it out to be. I really don't know Chris Beek that well.
All right, DeMarcus
I knew John Beek very well.
DeMarcus Ware's here. DeMarcus Ware's
DeMarcus Ware.
Gone. He's in.
Right,
he's
right.
out.
Now he's part-time. But he talked – you saw it yesterday. He was working with everybody.
Okay. Don't we want somebody like that working with everybody every day?
That would be ideal.
I mean, well, I'm talking to the tight ends, and they're, you know, hey, Jeep Christ is great, this, that, the other thing. Oh, awesome. So we realize we have a situation where we have a tight ends coach for those four guys, but we don't have a specific outside linebackers coach for those, how many guys are going to be? Four or five guys, that sort of thing.
Right.
So,
but it's not necessarily for Vaughn or even Shane Ray. It's for the young guys.
Yep.
Yes, that includes Bradley Chubb, but also guys like Jeff Holland, who's a talented pass rusher in his own right. He reminds me of a young Shaq Barrett. We'll see if he can make the team. Yep. It's for those guys where they need that extra coaching.
Yep.
All right, last thought, takeaway from today's. Today was, Sandy?
Better for defense today. Defense intensity was really good. So that'll make the scrimmage interesting tomorrow because the offense was better yesterday. Defense was more intense today.
Today was?
Things are getting chippy and the defense strikes back on Saturday.
Yeah.
Today was, for me, another affirmation of the starting offensive line. You know, you just see what it
Again,
is.
Again, speaking to guys who can't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know where the depth goes there because it seems shaky. But, yeah, Connor McGovern has not lost a rep. It's at right guard the entire
–
It's
he's your right guard.
Put him in ink right now. You know, I don't know. He's not even being challenged in that position.
Nope.
So I don't know where Watson fits and Garcia and, I mean, keep going down the line.
Cyrus Quanjo, Billy Turner.
Billy Turner, I'm not quite sure. But you're starting offensive – and I'm – just for the record, fellas – I'm a little concerned about Veldier in terms of his athleticism at this point in his career.
Well, you should be in coming off that injury. Yeah. We all should be concerned about
him. Last Veldier. 2 years, he finishes on IR. So.
He's a mountain of a man. There's just no
sure
doubt
is.
About it. But guys are really talented, can run around mountains in the NFL, and that could be terrifying. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you to Kyle Berry. Johnny Love, my man, Armin Williams, helping us out here for the best Broncos coverage. It's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.